Good morning, everyone. How are we? Good. It's good to be here. Good to finally be up here. Sorry that it's taken a while. That's how things panned out in our planning. But here I am as one of the team here preaching for the first time at Lynn Baptist Church. I think that's why it's a little bit quieter than normal, I think. Some people heard. It's going to feel like, in some ways, just another Sunday. In fact, it probably feels like a bit of an anticlimax, given that, you know, I've been here for a couple of weeks already, I've had my induction, all that kind of stuff is out the way. But it's also a day of new beginnings, right? Not just a new beginning for me, but a new beginning for us all, a new chapter in the life of Lynn Baptist Church as we begin to step forward into all that God has in store for us. Some of you know the story. It was the 15th of August, 2024, when I first got in touch with John Williams, who was at the time chairing the search team as you began your search for a new lead minister. I had my first tentative Zoom call 8 days later with John and with Chris. That was Friday the 23rd of August. Feels like a lifetime ago now, that first Zoom call. But here we are, 13 months just about later. A whole load more Zoom calls, 3 interviews, 2 sermons, a grilling from you lot. And it's a Q&A session with you lot and those questions from George on behalf of the young people. Here we are with me preaching for the first time. To be honest, it's been a blessing not to have to preach for my first few weeks. It's given me time to settle in, to find my feet a little, to get to know you a little bit better. And so I'm grateful to those planning for keeping me off the rotor. And then, of course, last week, if you were here, we welcomed Chege from Compassion. That had just been in the diary for a while. In fact, Chege got up. He started his sermon by saying, folks, I don't know how good today's going to be, but it'll all get better from next week. That's what he promised. That's what he told you. I can tell you I'm not entirely sure that's true. And I'm not sure that's true for 2 reasons. Firstly, if you were here, his talk was brilliant, wasn't it? What a powerful story of a man who, as a young boy, had been sponsored as a child. It turned his life around, turned his family's life around, and now he's here in the UK working as a mental health counselor. What an amazing testimony of God's goodness shown to him by the Australian lady who sponsored him, a good Samaritan, as he was suggesting, who didn't walk by on the other side. I can't beat that. That was a really moving day, I thought, and I'm pleased to say that 4 more children were sponsored by the end of last week. That takes our total, I think, to 20 children sponsored within LBC or connected to LBC. So bless you if you sponsor a child. Thank you for what you're doing. But the other reason I'm not sure it's uphill from here is because what I want to share with you is perhaps not what you might have been expecting. Don't know if you saw the title I put in the weekly news sheet, and if you get that via email, if you don't, contact the office, they'll sign you up. The title, as you can see, that I've given this morning is New Beginnings. And you could probably start to see the connections with Acts chapter 9 without me having to talk too much about it. That's why I've chosen it. But the heart of what I want to share with you this morning, the origin of the message that I want to bring, actually comes from a very different source, because in preparation for today, God spoke to me in a very, very unexpected way. I wonder if God's ever done that to you. God ever spoken to you in an unexpected way? Not in the wind and the fire. That's what Elijah was expecting in 1 Kings 19, right? But God was not in the wind. God was not in the fire, it says. And then came a gentle whisper, and Elijah knew it was God. I don't tend to get visions or pictures, that kind of thing. It's not generally my spirituality. I tend to hear God when something just resonates in a really deep way. Like I hear something and I just can't shake it off. It imprints on my mind, even on my heart. Maybe you've had an experience like that. When God has spoken to you, maybe through words said in a chance encounter, a line from a novel, a piece of artwork in a gallery, maybe even a scene from a sitcom. Well, for me, it was from the soundtrack of the Disney animated film Frozen. Buckle up, folks, honestly. Now, you know that God speaking to me through song was a big part of the affirmation of my calling here to become minister. I've shared before, I've got joy in chaos, I've got peace that makes no sense. That's how I knew God was calling me to leave Oadby and move here. But the reality is, I spend a lot of my time in the car with a 3-year-old. And so it's not all that often that I actually get to pick the music. In fact, Spotify now, my Spotify account, you know, it does that thing where it starts suggesting new music based on your most played songs. So my most played songs now are Old MacDonald Has a Farm, Doe a Deer from The Sound of Music, she loves that song, and If You're Happy and You Know It, Clap Your Hands. Thank you. And of course, as I say, the Frozen soundtrack. Now, I'll be amazed if you've never heard of Frozen, right? It is a pop culture phenomenon. It's estimated to be worth in the region as a brand of about $14 billion. At one point, it's believed that 40 dolls of the main characters were flying off the shelves every minute. 40 dolls a minute. The story is inspired by Hans Christian Andersen's 1844 fairy tale, The Snow Queen. It tells the story of a girl named Anna, voiced by Emmy Award winner Kristen Bell, on a journey to find her estranged sister Elsa, voiced by the Queen of Broadway, as she's known, Idina Menzel, highest paid actress in West End history. So quite a lineup. Elsa has a magical power she can't control. She ends up trapping her kingdom in an eternal winter, hence the name Frozen. The sequel, Frozen 2, follows the sisters as they seek to unravel the mystery and origins of Elsa's power. The first film, released in 2013, it was the highest grossing animated film of all time at that point. But the second film, 6 years later, 2019, grossed even more, an estimated $1.5 billion. The soundtrack alone sold 10 million copies in 2014, just in 2014. Making it that year's best-selling album globally. We have to listen to this album in the car a lot. Charlotte loves singing along to it. Ellie loves singing along to it. If I'm honest, I sometimes love singing along to it. But you can imagine my surprise when I felt God was speaking to me through it. And unexpectedly, because this is what happens when you're a minister, a sermon started to form in my head. This is genuine. It was like my eyes were being opened and suddenly God was speaking to me. I got home. I did a bit of research. I looked up the track list for both albums. And that's when I realized there's tons of theological resonance in these albums. One song is called Frozen Heart. Surely that speaks of our human condition and our alienation from God. There's a Christmas talk in this. Jesus comes to earth at Christmas to thaw our frozen hearts. I'm going to bank that one. I'm going to use that. There's another song. It's called Show Yourself. How often do we hear that prayer in Scripture? The book of Job is about a man desperate to see God's face, a man of misery, desperate for God to reveal himself in the midst of his suffering. Perhaps it's even more obvious in Exodus 33, where Moses says to God, please show me your glory. In fact, Exodus is the perfect example of another song, Lost in the Woods. I mean, that's just the story of the Exodus, right? The Israelites leave Egypt and spend 40 years lost in the woods as they wait to enter the promised land. Honestly, we could do a whole sermon series based on the lyrics from Frozen. But this morning, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to pick out three songs, probably three of the most well-known songs to Frozen fans. Through them, I want to explore what I think might be some key messages for us as we begin this new chapter. You see, starting something new can be both exciting and daunting at the same time. That's certainly how I've been feeling over the last few weeks. There's joy and anticipation for sure, but there's also nervousness. None of us knows exactly what the future holds, but the three songs I want to share this morning help us, I think, to address, wrestle with, and navigate these varied emotions. And what we're going to do is connect them to the most powerful new chapter stories of the New Testament. That conversion of Saul on the Damascus Road is told in Acts chapter 9. Saul, of course, was his Hebrew name. We know him by his Greek name, Paul. And we're going to do that just to prove that I am not completely wackadoodle and that I do preach from Scripture and not just Disney films. So if you happen to see Chege again, tell him he was wrong. It is not uphill from today. But next week, it'll be uphill from next week. I want to listen, or want us to listen, to a clip of the first song. It's probably the most famous song in the franchise. The single, when it was released, won several high-profile awards. This is a clip from Let It Go. Sing along, Frozen fans.
I wanna go.
Can I just point out that I never said these songs were theologically accurate? Okay? I don't want you on the phone to the regional ministers tomorrow saying, my minister stood up and said, there's no right, no wrong, no rules for me. Okay? That is not what I'm saying. I don't think that's what God's saying, but this is how God did speak to me. This is what I think he was saying to me. At the start of this new chapter, we need to be asking what it is that we need to let go of. As we step into a new beginning, what things are there that we might need to leave behind? Now, I'm not talking about throwing away the past. The past is really important. We are the church we are because of those who have gone before us. We need to honor the work of faithful saints who have worshipped in this building for 175 years. But every new beginning requires us to let go of certain things that tie us, that keep us held to the past. Think about the Apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus, as he's known at the start of the passage. He was a Roman citizen. We learn that in Acts 22. He was a devout Jew. This is an insight into his life from the letter to the Philippians. It says, circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for righteousness based on the law, faultless. Galatians 1:13 tells us he's been persecuting Jesus followers beyond measure. And Acts 9 begins by saying he's still as in been doing it for a long time, still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. In fact, the reason he's even traveling to Damascus is to lock up Christians in prison. And so when he encounters the risen Christ, he needs a major transformation. He needs to let go of everything in his life. His identity, his belief system, his way of life. He has to let go of that desire to persecute and discover his new God-given identity as an apostle, a messenger of God's word, an ambassador of Jesus Christ. The old Saul, defined by status, education, and religious pride, had to die so that Paul, the apostle of grace, could live. Now look, our new start, it's not quite as dramatic as that. We're not going to be letting go of those kind of things necessarily, but it may be that we need to let go of the old ways of doing things. We might need to let go of our comfortable habits, our fear of change, and our expectations of ministry shaped by previous ministers. Friends, you need to let go of Jonathan and the way he did things. I need to let go of Odeby and the way we did things there. And together we need to let go of any temptation to compare. I said in my final sermon at Odeby, they were banned from ever using the phrase, Tom did it like this. Who cares, I said. Who cares how I did it? God has called me on, and he's going to call someone new to minister in Odeby, and the same is true for us here. I'm not suggesting we're banned from ever speaking about Jonathan. He's a great guy. I met him here at my induction. We wish him well at Hazel Grove, but he's not the minister here anymore. And we need to let go of him. Not because we want to discard the good things of the past, but because we need to be released of anything that stops us embracing the future God has for us. You know, I'm guessing a lot of you have got smartphones. Maybe you've got a tablet at home. Just this week, Apple released their latest operating system for their iPhones. Sometimes we resist updating, don't we? Because we're so used to the old version. In fact, in this room, many people, I bet some of you are running really outdated software. You run into problems, and the first thing that the technicians tell you to do is your software up to date? Because when it's not up to date, you can't access the new features. The security functions don't work. The only way to get that working is to let go of the familiar operating system and update your phone to run the new one. And I get it, that's really daunting. We're used to the old system. We're used to the layout, the functions. We know where everything is and how it works. And you're nervous about how you'll cope if everything changes. But at some point, you have to let go of the old and embrace the new. And the same is true for us as we enter this new beginning together. You know, one of the central tenets of our faith is the promise of a resurrection. So why is it we're so slow, so afraid, so reluctant to let old things die when we know that God has promised, and you know this promise better than anyone else, that God is going to do a new thing among us? Letting go is often the hardest part of a new beginning, but by releasing old habits, patterns, and fears, we can be better prepared to recognize, embrace, and enjoy the greater things that have yet to come. You know what that doesn't mean, though? What that doesn't mean is that everything is going to change overnight, okay? I was walking from the car park to the front door. It was my first day. I'd recently received my new work mobile number. I was setting up WhatsApp. You have to write a little profile, a little bio about who you are, you know, so people know when they're messaging you. And I'm kind of walking whilst typing to the front door around the path here. And I don't know if you know this, but the O and the I are right next to each other on the keyboard. And as I'm typing, I've looked down and I've realized I've made a mistake. I've used the O instead of the I, and it's auto-corrected to say that I am the lead monster. This is genuinely true. I'm the lead monster at Lim Baptist Church. Friends, I promise you, it was not prophetic. I am not here to be a monster. I am not here to rip everything up. I'm not here to bring change for the sake of it. It's not my style. But it is my role to encourage us to let go of the things that hold us back, albeit recognizing the reality, as we're about to hear, that some things never change. You know, if there's one thing true of church life, and those who've been around churches for a long time will know this, it's that some things never change, right? Churches are renowned for being stuck in their ways. We hate change, and that's okay to a small extent. Not everything has to change, although, as I said, we need to be prepared to let go. But the point I want to make here, the second thing that I think God has for us today is not about our willingness or otherwise to change or to see change happen in our church. It's that as we step into a new beginning, on new chapter, as we let go of the things we need to let go of, there's one thing that doesn't change, and that's God himself. The gospel of Jesus Christ doesn't change. The authority of Scripture doesn't change. The love and presence of God with his people doesn't change. The same God who has been worshipped in these walls for generations is the same God we worship every time we gather here. He's the one thread that runs right through the tapestry of the history of LBC. He's the North Star that leads and guides no matter what the weather or the season. He's the great unchangeable I am, says the old hymn. The same yesterday, today, and forever, as it says in Hebrews 13, verse 8. You know, the crazy thing about the dramatic event in Acts chapter 9, when you really think about it, is it's the same God that Saul worshipped before his conversion as it is after his conversion. It's not a new God, it's the same God. In fact, it's not really a story of conversion at all. It's actually a story of revelation. He's transformed when he encounters the truth about God, the same God who called Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the same Lord who walked with the disciples and who calls Saul to follow him, is the same Lord who is still at work in his church today, in us today. And so as we enter this new beginning, this new season of our life together, prepared for the fact that some things will inevitably change, knowing that there's new leadership, there'll be new ideas, new opportunities, that everything in one way or another is up for review and reflection, there might be some difficult questions that need asking. There might be some painful pruning that needs to take place, but we do all of that in the full assurance that as we let go of what we need to let go of, we do so in the presence, plans, and purposes of a God who never changes. A God who stays the same, whose love remains, whose patience remains, whose compassion remains, and whose faithfulness remains. As we step into our changing reality, we do so under the care of an unchanging God. And we do so anchored to those things that never change, the gospel of Christ, the authority of Scripture, and the presence of God with his people. I want to make a third and final point. You see, these anchors are really important to us because as we turn the page, what we're doing is we're actually stepping into the unknown, into a future that we're uncertain of, into a future that we're waiting for God to reveal to us. In Frozen 2, Elsa is searching for the origin of her magical powers. She hears this mysterious voice calling her forward. She doesn't know what lies ahead, but she's drawn to the voice. She connects it with her true purpose. And that's the context of this third and final clip. I love trying to hit those high notes when I'm driving on the M6. You know something? I really don't like the unknown. Anyone a bit like me? I like the predictable. I like the calculable. I like the expected. Ellie will tell you I am the least spontaneous person you could imagine. But time and time again, God calls people into the unknown, doesn't he? Abraham went out not knowing where he was going, it says in Hebrews 11. We're actually going to be studying Hebrews this autumn, starting from next week. The disciples are called by Jesus into the unknown. Come and follow me, he says. No context, no itinerary, no certainty about what lay ahead. Just come and follow me. And they do. Ananias, the other major player in the events of Acts 9, he steps into the unknown. We didn't hear the full story. Some will know it. Tony alluded to it for us. Ananias hears God tell him to go to a particular house in Damascus to find a man named Saul, to lay hands on him and pray for him. What an amazing act of faith as he steps into the unknown. And then, of course, there's Saul himself. One minute he's persecuting Christians, the next he's encountering Jesus and having his whole life totally transformed. Verse 15 tells us he's going to be God's chosen instrument to the Gentiles. And the only thing that we can be certain of, we're told in verse 16, is that he is going to suffer for it in the name of Christ. What a new beginning that is for him. No retraining, no degree from a Bible college. No 3 years as minister in training under the watchful eye of the Baptist Union, which, as we all know, is God's true church on earth. That's a joke. But having let go of his identity, his beliefs, his old way of life, Paul has to step into the unknown and follow God's leading and guiding. He has to trust, even though there's going to be hard times ahead. I don't know about you, but this feels a bit like stepping into the unknown. We don't know exactly where God is going to lead us as we look to the future. We don't know what challenges lie ahead, but stepping into the unknown is what faith is all about. You know, I genuinely believe that greater things have yet to come. I genuinely believe that God is going to do something in us and through us here, but I've no idea what that is or what that's going to look like. In fact, rarely does God show us the whole picture or the whole map. He just asks us to follow, to have faith, to trust that his Spirit is already at work ahead of us. That's why in the covenant promises, many Baptist churches make it. Do we do that? Do we do the annual covenant promises? We're going to do that. If we don't do that, we're going to start doing that. Fine. We're going to do that. And this is a promise we're going to make then every year to each other. We say these words to each other. It says, creating and redeeming God, we've come this day to covenant with you and with our companions in discipleship to watch over each other and to walk together before you in ways known and ways still to be made known. That's the covenant promise, one of the promises that we'll make to each other, to walk before God in ways known and still to be made known. And I remember watching a David Attenborough documentary a few years back. It was not Planet Earth, the other one, Blue Planet, one of the Blue Planet ones. There was this kind of little, I've got a picture of it, there was like this little submarine thing, and they were going to go to new depths in the ocean that they'd never gone that deep before. No human eye had ever seen. They were literally discovering new life forms, new behaviors previously unknown to science. They had no idea what they were going to find down there. But you know what I was thinking? God did. God knew what was down there. Because here's the thing, when we step out into an unknown, we're stepping into a plan and purpose that God already knows about. We're stepping into a future where God's Spirit is already at work. And so we need not be afraid as we step into the unknown, for the Lord goes with us. The Lord our God is already waiting there for us. In fact, he is calling us to join him. And it is not blind faith that takes us into the unknown, but a faith built on the firm foundations of God's promises to us. And therefore, it is not courage. We don't need courage to step into the unknown. It's the faith to believe that God is already there, that he already knows the future, that he's holding all of time and space in his hands, and that nothing is unknown to him. Do you believe that today? That's what I think God wants to remind us of this morning. I think he wants to encourage us to let go of the things that hold us back. I think he wants us to stand firm in the truth that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And to have faith that though we're about to step into the unknown, nothing is unknown to him. And that he holds us always in his hands. Who knew there was so much God could say through Disney animated films? But my hope is that what I've shared has indeed spoken to you in some way. Of course, these three truths, promises, points, whatever, they're not just true of church life, are they? They're true of our individual lives. They're true of our own walk with Jesus. This is what we see in the life of Paul, the events of Acts 9. I think any journey of faith is always going to involve these three movements. Letting go of what no longer belongs. The sin that so easily entangles, we read in the New Testament. Holding fast to what never changes, i.e. the love and presence of Christ. And stepping forward into the unknown that God has prepared. And perhaps for some of you today, actually these three things, they're not about church life, they're about your life. Maybe this is about your personal relationship with Jesus. Maybe God is trying to do something in your own life and something's holding you back. Something's preventing you from stepping into a future that God has for you. Maybe that's something you should seek prayer for today at the end of the service. I'm sure the prayer team would gladly come alongside you. But for all of us collectively, today isn't just about me as a new minister here. It's about the whole church, all of us together, embracing what God has for us next. And so while it is those lyrics from Frozen that can be quite catchy, perhaps that's what will stay with you as you go about the rest of your day. But I hope on a deeper level you might know and remember that the God who met Saul on the Damascus Road is the same God who stands beside us, who resides within us, who goes before us. And I hope that gives you the courage, the confidence, and the faith to let go of whatever it is we might need to let go of as time goes on. To stand firm in the unchanging promises of a God who will never fail us. And to step out in faith, to step out into the unknown together, to join in the mission and the ministry that God is going to call us into. I'm going to say it one last time. Greater things have yet to come here. So let's make sure we're ready to receive, to discern, and to follow, so that we may step boldly into the future that he is making for us. Amen. Amen. You know, right, the band to come up. Let's just come before God in prayer as they prepare themselves to lead us. Heavenly Father, as we stand on any precipice of change or worry or doubt, all of these things that might flood our minds as we worry about the next step forward, Lord, I pray that you would help us to fix our eyes on you. Lord, whether it's in our own lives, whether it's in our personal relationship with you, or whether it's stuff in church life that we're going to encounter, that the questions we're going to have to ask of ourselves, the difficult decisions that we might have to make, the painful processes we might have to go through, Lord, help us through it all to keep our eyes fixed on you. Lord, help us to let go of what we need to let go of. Help us to stand firm in the promises that we read in your word. Lord, and help us to step boldly and with confidence into the unknown, to follow that call of come and follow me. Lord, give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to discern where it is you're leading us into the future. Lord, we thank you for the journey that we've been on together to this point, and we pray for more to come. We pray for more of you, Lord. We pray for more of your hope, more of your love, more conversion stories like that of Saul's to be a hallmark of life here at LBC. Lord, we give ourselves to you this morning. Minister to our hearts, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.